south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, it seems even after all the blathering I do about the real estate bubble down here and about real estate in general, people just don't get it. What do I mean by that? Well, I still get emails from people asking me where's the best place to buy land or housing or beach properties, etc., etc. And I'm telling you right now, this is not a good time to buy. Unless, of course, you happen to find some really distressed seller. And let me clue you in on something. If you hook up with a real estate agent, whether he or she's with a huge agency or just a neighborhood guy who tinkers with it as a hobby, you are not going to get a deal. In fact, you're going to buy right into that bubble. Because even if someone approaches you and claims they've found a distressed seller, you think they haven't approached a dozen corrupt politicians and narcos before they hit on you, the gringo? The fact is, you will never find distressed sellers through real estate agents. You gotta find them yourself, in the newspaper, on bulletin boards, etc. Because you see, the fact is, a distressed seller doesn't want to pay a commission. He's lowered his price to absolute rock bottom already and does not want to give away 5% more as a commission. By definition, a distressed seller is selling below market anyway. And by the way, down here in Latin America, the standard commission is around 5%. Most distressed sellers will have factored that out of the equation completely already. So how do you find those distressed sellers yourself? If you're a longtime listener to this show, you'll remember I explained that process quite a while ago. So rule number one in looking for real estate is, don't go through a real estate broker and don't sign any exclusive deals. That isn't to say you shouldn't hook up with one and have them show you around and give you a free tour and all that. But after you've got the lay of the land, you can drop them like a hot cow pie and hook up with a young college English major to act as your translator. And again, in a past show, I showed how to find one of those, too. If you play your cards right, you can hire one of those guys or gals for around 25 bucks a day. Then just head out to the shopping center bulletin boards and pick up the local classified ads, etc., etc., as I detailed in one of my past shows. That is assuming your Spanish sucks. Otherwise, you can do it yourself. And let me tell you, if you hook up with a local real estate agent, whether the agent's a Latin person or a gringo, you're especially going to get screwed if you don't speak Spanish and you don't have a personal lawyer. Oh, and by the way, here's a very important point. If you happen to be in an area where you can find a real gringo real estate agent, then guess what, buddy? You're on the tourist trail. Because when you're off the tourist trail, those kind of folks just don't exist. So right off the bat, that's one quick and dirty way to figure out if you're going to pay gringo prices or not. Now, for example, take the second biggest city in Honduras, San Pedro Sula. It's got about 500,000 people or so. Guess what? They have tons of real estate flyers in the Sunday papers and all that. And the usual monthly free glossy real estate magazines you can pick up at the grocery store. And you know what? Not a single gringo realtor to be found. Meaning, way off the gringo tourist trail. Same thing with Guatemala City. 1 million to 2 million people in that metropolitan area. And probably 200 or 300 real estate people. And guess what? Not a single gringo. Now, before you think I'm running off at the mouth here, I'm going to give you some really good examples of Latin American real estate misinformation for gringos 101. So, this is for all you armchair expat wannabes sitting up at your desks, surfing the internet, up in Cleveland, Boston, and Chicago, thinking that you're getting the inside scoop on real estate and real estate deals and bargains down here in Latin America. I mean, let's face it, we all want to get in on some ground floor opportunity here. That is, get in while the going's good and the going's cheap. But look out, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And what might seem like a good deal to you now is likely to give you a huge case of buyer's remorse somewhere down the line. Anyway, for all you expat gonna be in wannabes doing your information searches up there, certainly you have sources that you trust. And it's not that they're trying to screw you or give you bad leads, but you see, they're not down here with the boots on the ground seeing what it's really like. Now, let me give you a little example of this. Just the other day, I received in my inbox a real estate report on Nicaragua. And I'm going to read a few little excerpts from this, and then I'm going to tell you why it's all screwed up, and there's no way, if you follow that so-called late-breaking expert advice, that you're going to get in on some kind of insider's ground floor opportunity. You're not. And as good as it might sound to you sitting up in your easy chair in Cleveland or Boston, I just have to laugh and shake my head when I hear the numbers they're spitting out. So as these things go, some who listen to this interview are obviously going to take the bait. Especially if you've never had boots on the ground, you're going to think you're really missing out on something if you don't jump in right away. But let me tell you, I just can't see where these guys are coming from. Or I should say, I do see where they're coming from. It's really all about highly inflated prices and big real estate commissions. And you know, I really can't blame the interviewer. He's talking to a real estate guy in Nicaragua. In fact, a gringo real estate guy, which by now you know should set off red flags. So let me get into it, then make my comments along the way. The title of the article is Real Estate in Nicaragua, A Low-Cost Bolt Hole, Part 1. And like I said, it's an interview with a gringo real estate agent living in Nicaragua. And again, I'll paraphrase this as usual to get it to fit my format here. The interviewer starts out by saying, "Tell us why someone should consider Nicaragua instead of Panama, Costa Rica, or other Central American countries." And the real estate guy says, "Well, the quality of life and cost of living are amazing. You can live a very good lifestyle on like $1,000 a month. In fact, you could probably spend less. In places like Panama or Costa Rica, it's much more Americanized. A lot of that is now reflected in their American prices because they've been able to charge higher prices for a longer time." Now, it's me talking. Does that make sense? Because they've been able to charge higher prices for a longer time? Is that some kind of doublespeak? Anyway, he goes on to say, "Here in Nicaragua, they haven't quite caught on to that yet." Okay, it's me now. And I have to admit, he's right about the $1,000 a month thing anyway. But I gotta say, that situation is only temporary and things are creeping up already. Why? Because the gringos are flooding in. And surprisingly enough, not so much from the States directly, but from the adjacent country, Costa Rica. I'm talking about ripped off, disgusted, disgruntled gringos who've just had it with the jaded people and being gouged at every turn in Pura Vida Land, Costa Rica. Though you probably heard me talk about that on a previous show. So anyway, those handful of hot spots that gringos like to settle in Nicaragua now, like Granada and San Juan del Sur, that surfing beach town on the Pacific coast, are not your ground floor undiscovered paradises anymore. Far from it. Anyway, this real estate guy goes on to say, "Nicaragua is probably one of the last places where you can still mix with the locals a lot. You'll never meet a nicer person than a Nicaraguan. They're such a friendly people, and no matter whether they have anything or not, they've still got time to help you. And I haven't felt that in many other places that I go to." Okay, it's me again. Obviously, this guy has never been to Honduras, Guatemala, Salvador, Paraguay, Bolivia, or any other Latin country well off the gringo tourist trail. Every well-traveled long-term gringo living down here in Latin America will tell you the attitudes of Latin folks change dramatically as soon as you get out of Mexico. In fact, every gringo I know will tell you that as he passes through the Mexican border to Guatemala and on to Honduras, suddenly the people's faces come alive and they seem genuinely happy and happy to see you. So this guy's totally limiting himself, or he hasn't been around. Or perhaps he's just sticking up for his own selfish interests when he says that Nicaragua is one of the last places you'll see where they have genuinely happy people who like gringos. That's totally BS. What that guy needs is to get a few more stamps on his passport. My take on it is that's his spiel and he's sticking with it because he's there to sell real estate. Nicaraguan real estate to clueless gringos. Heaven forbid we talk about that bubble. That would ruin everything, right? But you know, it's not just gringo real estate salesmen in Nicaragua. It's true of gringo real estate salesmen in Belize too. And gringo real estate salesmen in Panama and Costa Rica, etc. More on that in a few minutes. Then he goes on to say regarding Nicaragua, of course, it makes a big difference, for example, if your car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, these guys will all stop and help you fix it. It's a real camaraderie. There's no animosity between foreigners and locals here. They embrace the people coming in. Okay, my comments again. And yes, he's right about Nicaragua, but there are a dozen other Latin American countries where the people are just as genuine and friendly. Only I guess this guy's never been there or purposely leaving them out. You know, that's like saying the most genuinely nice, helpful, and friendly Americans are in Nebraska. See what I mean? That's totally wrong. We all know they're in Cleveland, right? Duh. Next, he says something that I know means he really hasn't been around, or else he's just priming the pump for a real estate sale. Listen to this. He says, there's a really nice expat community that lives here, and there's a well-educated Nicaraguan community that's here as well. So it's a really nice mix of people. Also, a lot of the products that you eat when you come down here are tremendous fresh fruits, vegetables, and fish. You can eat everything that's been caught or grown within a mile or two where you're eating it. And there aren't many places like that in the world anymore. Yeah, and it's me again, and I have to say that he's correct about that if you're talking about the first world, but there are still tens of thousands of places in Latin America where everything you eat has been caught or grown within a few miles of where you're eating it. And that's why when I hear guys say things like this, I know the spiel is geared specifically at first world gringos who know that their food's coming from some thousands of miles away. And of course, tuned in gringos know there's something wrong with that picture, but they're stuck with it if they're living up in the States. And if you're up there and you want to buy locally, you go to the farmer's market and pay two or three times as much for organic produce. And still up there, you're never going to get all your food and produce from within a couple of miles where you live. Climate and logistics makes that impossible. But you see, if you live down here in Latin America, no matter where you are, there's nothing amazing or special about what he's saying at all. I mean, for example, I could go to Walmart down here and buy a dozen eggs of a perfect size, shape, and texture that look like they're cloned, like up in the States. But I can walk about three or four blocks from home and buy a dozen eggs in a little hole-in-the-wall stand. And by the way, those natural eggs from driveway chickens you buy at those little markets are always just a little bit cheaper than the ping-pong-looking, cardboard-tasting eggs you get from Walmart and Costco. And those eggs you buy at the hole-in-the-wall corner store are eggs that don't quite look uniform at all. In fact, some of them look pretty nice and others look kind of gnarly, which is a sure sign they're coming from driveway chickens. Chickens that are not pumped up with hormones and chemicals. Chickens that are able to walk around at will. They look happy. And have a pretty natural lifespan with low stress, that is, until they hit the pot. Now, I know you're almost never going to find that up in Cleveland or Chicago, but down here in practically every little town and city throughout Latin America, that's just the way it is. Unless, of course, you insist on Costco or Walmart eggs. Oh, and by the way, the upscale Latins and gringo wannabes, they buy their eggs at Walmart and Costco because, well, being gringo wannabes, it's the fashionable thing to do. Now, I'll tell you, you don't see late model SUVs pulling up in front of these little hole-in-the-wall market stands. What would the neighbors think if someone happened to drive by and see you shopping there? The gossip would get around and they'd call you that dreaded word, corriente, which means common, which down here is considered a terrific insult, even though probably 80% of Latin Americans are average and therefore common. Yes, unfortunately, deep down, our fine, happy Latin culture is a very classist one. Oh, and by the way, that backhanded insult word, corriente, common, never applies to gringos or expats. Though, we can do things all day long that are considered corriente if a Latin were doing it, but we are gringos after all. So, Latins allow us huge leeway in social areas like that. In fact, they more than tolerate our occasional eccentricities. In fact, they get a kick out of them and never hold them against us. But if you're a Latin and you pull that stuff, well, your friends and family will certainly dump on you for it. Now, I might sound sarcastic here, but it's absolutely true. Okay, let's get back on point. So anyway, the interviewer then asks the gringo real estate guy in Nicaragua, why don't you briefly go over the main areas that would be of interest for expats? To which the real estate guy says, well, San Juan del Sur would be it. The city has its roots in a small fishing village on the Pacific coast. That's, I think, what a lot of people like about it. It's not a town which has come from nothing, or not just foreigners who have come in and built it up. Even without foreigners, it's a functioning small fishing village and has grown around that. It has beautiful cliffs and hills and beaches, etc. He says, it's definitely where most of my clients tend to focus. There are a lot of different bars and restaurants. You can mix with lots of the locals. So it's definitely the local culture side to it. It's not just foreigners there. Okay, it's me again commenting. Now here comes the real estate spiel, so pay attention. See if you can figure out what's wrong with this picture. He says there's another main beach area that a lot of people focus on, which is called Tola, about an hour north of San Juan del Sur. Near Tola, there are a couple of American-owned property developments, one called Iguana and one Ranchero Santana. Now, pay attention to this. He says Iguana is one of the older original ones. It has its own nine-hole golf course and one of the best, if not the best, waves in the country right in front. So it has always been very popular with surfers. There's a nice little bar restaurant situated there as well. Rancho Santana doesn't have a golf course, but they've got plenty of land. There's horse riding, tennis, great beaches. Then the interviewer asks him about the price of oceanfront lots there, to which the real estate guy said, I'd say they're around $250,000, maybe a little bit cheaper for one of those. And then you could get a nice ocean view lot from around $75,000 to $150,000. Now, I'm thinking, what the hell is this guy talking about? You'd have to be an idiot to buy a lot at those prices. I've been there. I've seen it. Sure, it's beachfront, but it's Pacific beachfront. That means it's not nice white sand. You've got a pretty big tide problem. It's a very short stretch of beach from the water to the jungle, or where the trees and vegetation starts. And in no way is the water crystal clear and blue like Caribbean water. It's always murky, and you can't see 2 feet into it. Duh. So what are you really getting for a couple $100,000 just for the lot? And besides that, there's almost nothing there. Like he said, they have a nice little bar and restaurant situated there as well. As well as what? Now, I'm telling you, if you went down there alone and scouted around without a realtor, by yourself, or with an interpreter, or with a long-term expat like me, it wouldn't take long, maybe a week or two, and I'm sure you'd be able to pick up an oceanfront lot right in the same vicinity for maybe $50,000 or less. That's less than the price this guy says they're getting for ocean view properties. That means a beautiful ocean view lot you could probably get for $15,000 to $25,000. And still, believe me, we're in the bubble, so even that's too pricey. So I basically believe that you gotta have rocks in your head or just a lot of money to throw around that you don't care about to buy anything for that price down here. Anywhere in Latin America, for that matter. So, by all means, come down here and hook up with this guy or any of the other real estate people and buy into the bubble. Why not? Everybody else is. Okay, now, this real estate guy started out with those great deals. Now, listen to what else he's got. He says, the other development we talk about is Guacalito de la Isla. But that one is Nicaraguan-owned. It's also the most expensive. What? Lots in there vary from a couple $100,000 to $1 million apiece just for the land. Oh, such a deal, huh? Now remember, the title of this article and interview is Real Estate in Nicaragua, a low-cost bolt hole. Now, maybe I'm living on another planet from you guys up in the States, all you wannabes. But I'm used to buying like half acres of land with beautiful views for like $20,000. And throughout Latin America, I'm used to seeing oceanfront and ocean view properties from like $20,000 to $50,000. Even much less sometimes. And here we got this Nicaraguan real estate guy saying, here's one of the greatest ground floor deals an expat can get. And so it seems does this guy doing the interview and writing this article. He's all excited about these great deals too, can't you tell? Anyway, regarding these $500,000 and $1 million lots, our gringo real estate guy goes on to say, these developments are for a different kind of person, someone looking for something easy, a nice place in the sun on a beautiful beach, one who doesn't necessarily want or need to come to Nicaragua for the culture. Yeah, and it's me again. Boy, did he evade that one. If he'd have been honest, he'd have said, these lots are for a particular kind of person that has a couple of Ferraris in the garage, probably a plane and a helicopter. So I'm asking, where does the average expat or expat wannabe fit into this equation? Try nowhere. But you know, if you're stinking rich and have that kind of money to burn, why would you ever want to live on a scruffy little off-white beach in Nicaragua? Why not get a place in Monaco or Antibes? I don't get it. Maybe you do, but I don't. Okay, then the interviewer asks a pertinent question. What about infrastructure like roads, electricity, water, internet, and so forth? And the real estate guy says, well, Guacalita La Isla is the one with the big money backing, so they're paving the road all the way out from the main highway to their development. Well, that's nice, huh? I mean, if you're paying 750 grand to a million just for the lot, you really should have a paved road, don't you think? But now, get this. He says with Rancho Santana and Iguana, remember, those are the developments that have lots that start at 75 grand and go to 250. Well, he says, you still have to drive about 20 to 30 minutes on an unpaved road. But they do pack the dirt quite well, he says. Then he goes on to say, but I find a lot of people who come down here don't necessarily mind that. Then he says, they quite like the fact that it doesn't feel like the U.S. Well, here's me again. Obviously, he's not talking about driving on an unpaved road in Latin America in the rainy season. Now, I don't think 1 in 10,000 people up in the States has ever done that. I have. And believe me, you need a four-wheel drive vehicle, and sometimes that ain't enough. Okay, so let me ask all you guys and gals out there, how would you feel about paying $75,000 to $250,000 just for a lot and find out you had to buy a four-wheel drive vehicle just to get there? Well, admittedly, the first few times it would be a cool adventure, but believe me, it gets pretty old. In fact, a while back I had a beach house with similar crappy access, and as it turned out, in the daytime, in the dry season, it was no picnic either. My advice, when you're stuck like that on an unpaved road during the dry season, never, never get behind another car. You have to make sure the other guy in front of you is at least a half a mile ahead. The car in front of you will kick up so much dry dust that you won't even be able to see 20 feet in front of you. So think about driving in that crud for about a half an hour. Not to mention, if you do that drive frequently, you'll have to clean or change your car's air and air conditioning filters about every 2 weeks. Now, I'll bet you never heard anyone tell you that before. Why? It might just put you off signing on the dotted line for the sale. Oh, and you should know this, too. When you're on a long stretch of unpaved road like that, you don't want to have anyone in front of you because you'll be in a constant dust cloud. And you don't want to be the only one on the road for miles around either, because if something happens, flat tire or otherwise, you're screwed. Note that way out in the lonely boonies like that, cell towers are very infrequent. So, just like bread always seems to fall butter side down, if you have a breakdown, you probably won't have a phone signal. So come on, do you want to be thoroughly pissed off and aggravated when you visit your $200,000 lot? As if you won't be thoroughly pissed off at yourself already when you find out down the line you overpaid by 50 or 70%. Well, here's my advice. Don't buy property in Latin America anyway on a far out isolated piece of land that forces you to travel over an unpaved dirt road for more than a mile or two. Believe me, 10 minutes on an unpaved dirt road is about enough for anyone. Then our real estate guy talks about the kind of buyers that are coming into Nicaragua. He says, there seems to have been a trend in New York-based or California-based buyers or people in the tech industry coming to Nicaragua. He adds, quite a large portion of my clientele has been high-tech industry guys, so they're coming down and looking and spending a couple of months here while they work on a project, so they need good internet, and we have it. There seems to be quite a young, trendy crowd with money coming down, not just retirees, which is nice because it provides a good mix. Now, here's me with my take. I admit at first that seems like a real plus for anyone considering on coming down and becoming part of the crowd. Who wouldn't want a bunch of high-tech nerds moving in the neighborhood? And it's me talking again. But remember, when the big money gringo crowd comes down, soon enough you can forget about cheap anything. That's the kind of moneyed people that came down to Panama and Costa Rica that drove everything to first world prices and beyond. Just remember, when I was in Costa Rica 25 years ago, my maid was $10 a day. And now, they're up to $40, even $50 a day in Costa Rica. Meanwhile, off the Gringo Tourist Trail, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Bolivia, Paraguay, it's still around 10 bucks a day for a maid. So then the interviewer says, back to San Juan del Sur, what kind of price ranges are we talking here? What do you think provides the best real estate value right now? And the real estate guy says, well, there's a number of developments which cater to any need and budget. You can come down here with 50 grand and find a nice lot. And a nice two or three bedroom place starts around 200 grand. And these are nice neighborhoods or developments on hills with beautiful views overlooking the bay. So that's part one of that interview. And wow, I can't wait for those great deals he's going to mention in part two. You know, I find this also very interesting since I've built maybe 12 or 13 houses in Latin America. And I can tell you right now that if you hire your own general contractor, you can get a beautiful first world style house built for about $30 to $50 a square foot complete, meaning a 1,000 square foot beach house for around 50 grand or a 2,000 square foot job for 100 grand or less. So it sounds to me like this real estate guy is talking up properties with at least a 200% markup. Nice work if you can get it, huh? Okay, more on that later. But now, I'd like to mention again, you can still get in on my July 2014 Expat Wisdom Latin American Seminar. Just go to www.expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link at the top of the page for full details. I guarantee you won't regret it. And for those of you sending me emails asking when my next seminar will be, the one after this one, because you can't make it this time for this or that reason, I have to caution you that these seminars will come to an end eventually. What with the way things are going with TSA, passports, total loss of privacy, spying, and just basically the hurdles and hassles you have to go through just to take a trip out of the country for a couple of weeks, not to mention these seminars really do put me back on the first world treadmill again for a while. I don't have to tell you guys about that. Anyway, just to keep you in the loop, the seminar that's coming up in July is number 6. So the question is, am I going to do any more seminars after this July 2014 one? I'd say maybe, maybe not.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture.